recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast, hour number two here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today on a Friday. Carver High in for Scotty on the grid. College football, of course, does start tomorrow, baby. Week zero is upon us, and we do have some games to get us going. And it's also good to say that the man joining us next is going to be with us every Friday right here on Coast to Coast during the college football season. Of course, former coach at Auburn, Akron, UL Monroe, worked with Leasty back in the day as well, our man Coach Terry Bowden. Coach, how are you? Good to have you.
Oh, I tell you, we're now back to football season. I'm about as happy as I could be because I couldn't wait. I've been waiting all this time to get back into some college football.
It is great, Terry, to get to finally, you know, we wait so long and the offseason's so different now. NIL, conference realignment, there's all this stuff now that kind of consumes January through August. But now we're actually going to get the ball in the air tomorrow and we're going to get some things going. And we have one marquee matchup to kick things off on week zero Saturday, and that is in Dublin for the Irish Classic is Florida State and Georgia Tech. We'll make the trip across the pond. I love a game like this, Terry, to start the season overseas. I love the Dublin game. It feels like football there. It's going to be a nice chill in the air. I'm ready. Let's go. What are your thoughts on the game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a great way to start it out. I think the people over there will be excited to see American football. Everybody's been waiting for football. I think all the eyes are going to be on this game because it's the biggest game of a zero week. And it's a big game for both teams. Florida State wants to come back from that not being snubbed in the championship Final Four last year. And Georgia Tech won four of their last six, and they feel like they've got a chance to be pretty good this year, too. Should be a great game.
Yeah, you know, for me, Terry, it kind of feels like this is a different Florida State team than the one that went undefeated last year. Some would say got screwed out of the playoff with Travis getting hurt and them not being a part of that four-team playoff. But they still have a good amount of the pieces, especially on the offensive and the defensive lines. They have DJU now, who's going to be at quarterback. They have a couple of marquee games here in primetime, this game and next week on Labor Day night against BC. I feel like this is going to be a nice jump off for Mike Norvell to kind of say, we got, you know, last year was last year, but we got a real good team this year as well.
I mean, yeah, they picked up, you know, they lost a lot of people in the draft, but he's done a great job, Mike Norvell, of getting into the portal and getting great talent to come to Florida State. They've made a commitment to NILs and getting great players, and they've continued to do that. DJU, you know, I was an analyst at Clemson when he was a freshman there. I thought he was going to be the next great one. I'm almost believing at Clemson because they lost so many coaches and lost so many great players that he took the blame for a lot. But I looked at him as a high-caliber quarterback, and I think Mike Norvell will find a way to fit him into an outstanding offense at Florida State. So it's going to look different, but I think you're going to see the same level of talent as he brings in Marvin Jones Jr., a lot of other players that are awful good.
Coach, this week zero, right? I know this has kind of been a thing that's kind of been added in the last, whatever it is, 5-10 years, you know, these earlier games.
Yeah.
As a football coach, is there a advantage? Is there a negative? You know, you're starting before everybody else. It's not even, you know, it's a full 10 days before Labor Day. Advantage or disadvantage if you're a head coach to have to play this game so early?
Oh, I think mostly it's an advantage because you get an extra week of practice and preparation that you have your young men come in. And because you play in week zero, you're going to have an off week somewhere. And so you're going to get a break there, but you're going to be a week ahead. And almost every coach is going to want you to get a week ahead. The negative, it's a long season. And you've got to be awful good at the end of the season and the playoff time and the time for the postseason. And so you've got to be very careful not to wear your legs out and get too tired. But I think overall, an early game is an advantage because you get an extra week of preparation over the other teams in your conference.
Especially if you got to take a long trip like to Dublin, right?
Yeah.
If you got to take a long trip to Dublin, or a lot of teams usually go to, you know, this year it's Delaware State going to Hawaii to go and play the first game of the year. Those are long trips that you need an extra week if you're going to do something like that to get things cooking. We've talked about FSU. They're the favorites in the ACC. In your eyes, and we've seen Clemson, Miami, lots of people talking about them, who is the biggest challenger for Florida State in the ACC this year?
You know, I think everybody's talking about Clemson, and then Clemson will have an outstanding team. But the team that I'm really watching closely is Miami. They have really infused themselves with an incredible talent. Cam Ward is the talk of the town. He's so explosive, so talented. They've got a great defensive line now. They've done a great job in Port. They got five guys that are potential NFL draft picks on that defensive line, and they have just loaded themselves up. Martinez is the running back, and I think they'll be the team really that. And they have a great old rivalry with FSU. Miami, FSU, even back when my father was the head coach at Florida State. So I really think they're the ones that are going to come up and have a chance to challenge for the championship of that ACC.
And it's funny, you know, Coach, and we'll probably get more into this game next week, but one of the bigger games next Saturday in the first big week is that Miami's got to go to Gainesville, to the Swamp, and play Florida. And you talk about two coaches who need a fast start. Mario Cristobal, of course, and Billy Napier. Yeah. The loser of that game, Coach, I mean, they're going to already have their fans yelling at them big time right out of the gate.
Well, it's huge. This game's huge, and there's no love lost between these two teams. You go back historically for these two teams and how they've disliked each other as you play for the state championship. You throw Florida State, Florida, and Miami. But this was huge for both teams. This is supposed to be a big year for Miami. Cristobal has to come up and show that they don't mess some games up because they lost a couple they shouldn't have lost last year. Florida, this is critical because of their job situation, because of they've had some terrible situations seasons, the last couple of seasons. They need a big win to start with. So this is big for both teams. And I see Miami just being too talented, but I'm going to tell you, it's a hard place to play when you're playing the Gators. And so I think it is in Gainesville.
It is definitely a tough place. But, man, there's going to be a lot of sweat on either Mario or Billy if they lose that one, especially from their fan bases. Me and you and Joe talked about this on the radio a couple weeks back. We were asking about Heisman talk and things like that. I was actually looking at the odds board last night. And for a while, it was kind of, you know, everybody was in the same spot. Dylan Gabriel, Quinn Ewers. And now it seems like Dylan Gabriel, Coach, is the preseason, like, no doubt about it, favorite. He's moved to, I think, plus 550, things like that. I'm kind of surprised, Coach. I'm not going to lie to you that I know it's Gabriel's, like, 12th year of college football, but I don't think he's that much better than Beck, Milroe, Ewers, all these other guys that he's jumbled with.
Well, you know, you've got to go do a couple things. One, you need to get yourself into a championship situation, you know, have great stats, get yourself, become a winner. I think Oregon's got loads of talent. They'll have an offensive scheme that highlights the quarterback. Now, I watched video of all the quarterbacks. He just caught my eye. He's so he's big. He's physical. He can throw the ball. He can create. I just liked what I saw. Now, Georgia wins every game, and they're loaded on offense and defense. Carson Beck I think it's going to be hard to take that out because, remember, Heisman has got to usually be a quarterback. He's got to play for a team that has proven he can lead them to victory. But I like the way Dylan Gabriel plays. I just think Oregon has a chance. I think Oregon will be the team that challenges Ohio State for the Big Ten championship, and I think because of that, his name's going to be out front all the way.
Do you like, Coach, that's what the Heisman's become now, that it's almost you have to be a quarterback and you have to be a team that makes the playoff, You have to be a team that's – it used to be, the best player in college football. I feel like it's kind of gone away from that a little bit.
Yeah, it's been that way for a good long while. I don't know how many people that are not quarterbacks, maybe a running back every now and then, never a defensive player. But, that it is what it is, and we start getting into that battle of who's the best quarterback. And so we'll enjoy it. We'll get excited about it, and it'll be a quarterback.
Coach, we will see you next Friday, and we got big games, man. Not only that Miami-Florida game, we got Clemson against Georgia. We have got Notre Dame going to Texas A&M. A huge first weekend, and we will talk to you then. Coach Terry Bowden here with us on Coast to Coast. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Friday. Carver High and Joe Pisapia in for Scotty on Sports Grid at Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today. All right, we got a big slate tonight in baseball. Before I get there, though, I had to do one more thing from last night. Really, two. But first, I want to go to this. The Mets beat the Padres 8-3. Big series for the Mets, as we know. They went into Petco last night, only a game and a half out of the final wild card in the NL. Padres are one of those teams in those three wild card spots right now. Mark Vientos, who has been excellent for the Mets, really, I would like to say all year. Joe's probably going to say all year. Most people would say a couple weeks. Joe's going to tell you all year, which he's right about. Vientos had an RBI double in the first inning that brought Lindor home, second batter of the game, and then extend. He puts it away in the ninth on SNY.
McNeil at third, Taylor at second, Lindor at first. They all run well. And a bouncing ball toward the middle. That is going to go through for a base hit. McNeil is in. Taylor's right behind him. Infield in. Vientos hits it past him, drives in a pair, and he doubles the Mets' lead. It's now 5-1 New York.
Good win for them, Joe. And you wanted to talk about Vientos, who honestly I think has been outstanding. He's actually gone to the window for us during our Tater Time home run segment a bunch of times this year. Really has been a great find, especially, I think, since they moved him up to second in the order behind Lindor.
Yeah, he has been great all year that he's played. Interesting story, too, because he thought he was going to break camp with the team, and then they signed J.D. Martinez late. And I don't want to say he pouted, but he was not very pleased about this, as I'm sure any young player wouldn't be, right? You think you got a shot at the roster. All of a sudden, now you're starting the year at AAA, and it didn't take long. He went there, and to his credit, he didn't pout there. He performed there. And then they had no choice but to bring him up, and he has been fantastic. Now, I don't like to extrapolate necessarily, but let's just take a look at the 80 games he's played. He's played exactly 80 games on the year. 20 homers, 54 RBI. Now, I'm not a math major, but if you double that, that's a 4,100 season. That is not good. That is great. He's also hitting .282 with an .896 OPS. So I don't know what everyone else is looking at, but if you're talking about unsung heroes of the Mets, this is that guy. And he's also the reason why I think they should look really carefully this offseason if they do want to give Pete Alonso a contract or not. To me, I mean, I would continue to move forward with guys like Vientos and continue to grow this organization, the youth of this organization, because I still look at Alonso as a player that has been steadily in decline statistically in the last 3 years. And I don't know if giving him a big contract is really worth it. I think there's money to be spent in better spots. Guys like Juan Soto, I'd rather be opening up the pocketbook for than a guy like Pete Alonso if I'm the Mets organization. But Vientos, regardless, in fantasy, in wagering, he's been a revelation this year. And he's been a huge reason why the Mets, as you said, are just a game out.
It also, just jumping in with Alonso there, it also kind of feels, Joe, that the relationship between him and the team is strained as well. It's kind of had a weird feeling to it for a while. And listen, contract negotiations and long-term deals and things like that can make those things worse. There's no doubt. I'm sure he probably feels, after he saw guys like Nimmo get big money and other guys on the team, that he would also get his slice and he hasn't. I kind of side with you. I like Alonso, but for where they want to go and get to down the line, it's probably without him, even if it does mean losing him for nothing, which I know bothers a lot of people.
Well, it won't be nothing because you'll get the draft pick, right? So you're going to get that compensation. Yeah. And this is an organization right now. Yeah. Look, the current regime, the new GM that's come in there from Milwaukee, he values these picks, right? And if you know what to do with them for a change, and the certain Mets organizations in the past did not know what to do with them, let's be honest, you look at that and say, okay, it's continuing to build assets. Now, I thought they could have had their cake and eat it too. Dealt a guy like Alonso, got some more, you know, major league ready talent, and then geared up again. They were hesitant to do that because they felt like the fan base was going to revolt. And I understand why. The Mets were actually relevant in July, and nobody thought that was coming. So Grimace was, a lot of ways, the worst thing that could have happened to them from an organizational standpoint, because if they end up falling short at the end of the day, they missed their window to get more prospects for Alonso, but they would get the compensatory pick. That is something that they value, and I can understand why they do. And look, at the end of the day, they can also sell to the fan base. Hey, we made offers. The guy walked on his own, so don't blame us. That's also something in terms of the politicalness of the player, team, fan aspect of things. That's an interesting way to play it psychologically, I think.
I'm with you. I think if they don't get that tremendous hot streak and get back in the mix in June and July, I think they deal him before the deadline. I think he would have been gone, and they would have gotten something for him. Because, yes, the draft pick is getting something for him, but you know, the guy, Joe, that, you know, goes to 25 games and rides a 7 line over there, that, like, they look at it as they got nothing. That's hopes and dreams, that compensatory draft pick that you're going to get. Could it be great? Sure. And when it does, you say, wow, that's where it was. But I think more times than not, that pick ends up not being anything significant, and you are getting rid of him for nothing, I suppose. I've got a minute left. We'll do the games when we come back. Tell me about Burns, because I thought this watching the game last night for Baltimore, and I forgot to bring it up before. I feel like he's been, like, smashed his last few times out, Joe. Like, this has not been a good run for Corbin Burns in the Oriole rotation.
It's more than a few. Let's play a little game. Over his last 7 starts, give me a over-under on 5 of the ERA of Corbin Burns.
Wow, 7 starts. If you told me 7 before, I probably would have said under, but that you've given me that high means it's probably over that.
It is. It's over it. It's at 5.75. It's actually closer to 6. Wow. So this is a problem right now, and it's been an ongoing one. It's kind of been pushed to the side because of all of the, you know, the good nature around the Orioles and the Jackson, the Holiday call up again going better. And look, the Orioles are a lovable team, I think. But I think right now they've got a serious problem. I was shocked. I was very loud about the Orioles going out there and acquiring another number 3 type starter, somebody else that could really go in that rotation and help take some pressure off here down the stretch. They didn't do that. They got some more depth guys. To me, that was the wrong move. You are in it to win it. You have all these prospects to move and nowhere to play all of them. It was kind of a dumb move, in my opinion. And ever since then, the Corbin Burns bus has kind of been crashing, and hopefully they can turn it around. Hopefully it's not an injury. It's just a bad stretch. But CRA in 7 starts, that's not ace-like. That's not going to do a good job for you in September.
Zach Eflin already on the IL, and he's a 5. Trevor Rogers got sent down. He's a 5. Like,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver High and Joe Pisapia in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. All right, Joe, we have got I love Fridays because it's always a full slate. Everybody always plays on Friday night in Major League Baseball. We don't even have the Cubbies afternoon businessman special today. Everybody's at night. Everybody's ready to rock. And what I love about slates like this is we got a lot of gas cans out there tonight in the starting pitcher department, which is always fun to see as well. We'll start in Pittsburgh. Reds and the Pirates again. Of course, Skeens beat them last night. Bailey Falter and the great Buck Farmer going for the Reds tonight. Minus -120 for the Pirates. Even money for the Reds. 8.5 is the total here. Lots of guys on the Reds, Joe, with some good numbers against Falter in their career. The great Buck Farmer's going. Sounds like a night where maybe we can get over that 8.5.
Maybe. I mean, you keep calling him the great Buck Farmer, who's got a 2.67 ERA on the year. I'm just saying.
He's,
you know, I don't want to kill the guy too much. look, this is the, again, the dog days of August. Baseball is tough, right?
Yeah. I mean,
baseball is hard anyway. 70% failure rate for the best players just to hit the baseball. Always difficult. Eight is the number. I'm seeing you can get the under 8.5 over on FanDuel at the -115. That's the best number for the under you could find. But I think, again, you go with the individuals here. And that's something that I've been doing quite a bit. Whenever I see Reds, it's a real easy one for me. I always go and say, what is the number for Eli De La Cruz to steal a base today? And you know what? More often than not, I'm very happy. In fact, that number is ridiculous. Today, it's only +165 for him to steal a base.
Wow.
Just one. So normally that number is somewhere around 3-1. So the fact that it's moved to where it is, you can tell he's motivated here. He's trying to set some statistical big-time numbers for himself. So I would be looking for that too, especially if you do think you are going to get to that Pittsburgh middle relief quicker. There's a good chance. So it, to me, the best bet on the board in this game is to avoid the under, avoid all the weird stuff that happens this time of year in baseball, and look for the stuff you can control. If Eli De La Cruz get on, Eli De La Cruz is going to try to steal a base. That's, I think, what we've learned.
He's looking to steal every time. It doesn't matter who the pitcher is. Like, I happened to catch a bunch of their games the last few nights when they were in Toronto, and even last night with Skeens, and Skeens did pick him off at first base. He was looking to go at one point. There was one night against Toronto. He was on first pitch, gone. The second pitch, he was on third. Like, Joe, he's not just looking to take second. He's looking for multiple. As he reached, I think he hit the 60 mark the other night in Toronto, and he's trying to obviously get bigger and better from there. The Astros are still in Baltimore against the Orioles. Hunter Brown and Cade Bovich tonight is the matchup. -125 for the Astros on the road. +105 for the O's. Another 8.5 for this one. You mentioned Hunter Brown, Joe. Like you said, awful April and early May, but really has nailed it down the last couple of months. He's been excellent.
Yeah, and a good number tonight, too. Only 5.5 on the strikeout total. That's pretty low. The over is -115. Now, he's gone over that in three of his last three starts. So I think that's one that you four of his last five starts. I'm looking at it right now. So Hunter Brown's in a spot where I think people will shy away from it, or you see the number a little smaller because it's Baltimore. It's a good offense. But I don't think I would be shying away from it. I think I would take advantage of it. I would take advantage of right now, as we talked about, the Baltimore Orioles kind of limping around a little bit. You know, coming off another bad game there from Corbin Burns, that doesn't feel really good for your momentum. And the Astros are really feeling it right now. They're putting it together. And I think that's something, baseball more than maybe any other sport is such a game of streaks. And it's such a long season where teams have so many ups and downs. And some teams just have downs, just at the White Sox. They never get an up ever. But sometimes, you know, teams are just in a situation where everything is just clicking right. And I think that's the way the Astros have been over the last 20 games or so. It's really gone that way for them. And the Orioles have been trying to basically tread water, I feel like, in the last 2 months. So, yeah, I'm looking at this one, and Povich, a young pitcher, a good young pitcher. But once again, one that I think is going to be limited, which means you're going to get into that bullpen sooner or later. Whenever you can get into bullpens, that's when you're looking to strike. I think Hunter Brown at last time. I think Hunter Brown over on these strikeouts is a good wager tonight.
I'll slide one more in here before the break because it's not high on the importance chart tonight. The Angels and the Blue Jays north of the border in Toronto. The Basset Hound going for Toronto tonight. Jack Kokanowicz is going for Anaheim. 8.5 the total, -195 for the Jays, +165 for the Angels. I'm sorry, Joe, but I would never lay -195 with the Toronto Blue Jays. They are an awful baseball team. That's a tough number.
Yeah, I don't blame you, my friend. If anything, maybe the best wager on this board, perhaps the 2.5 earned runs for Bassett. Maybe you go with the under on that one, too. It's juice pretty heavy. I would take him on the money line, go with the under on the 2.5 earned runs for Bassett. Maybe that's a good approach.
Coast to coast, back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver High and Joe Pisapia in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. We just spent the entire break talking bad about the Angels, which apparently is a pastime of Joe's, and he's done before. Yeah. So you have to go. If I let him do it now, we'll never get to tonight's games.
I can do a short version.
Joe, do a short version. Joe, go ahead. I love when we treat someone like a pinata here on Coast to Coast. So go ahead, Joe. Take a few.
I know. Look, in honor of Scotty Farrell, who's not here to take a whack at somebody, I'm going to take a whack at Artie Moreno. Because in the break, we were talking about how ridiculous. And last year, I was pounding the table on every single sports grid show for about, I don't know, a month and a half. The Angels need to trade Ohtani. The Angels need to trade Ohtani. He's never signing there. This is crazy. Your organization stinks. They've been terrible forever, and they don't have any prospects to show for it. All they've got is Trout and Ohtani, and Trout never plays. And sure enough, this is where we're at now. We're talking about the Angels. They're a complete joke, right? And now you can't trade Trout. You're never going to make this organization over again. It's going to take 5 to 10 years to dig yourselves out. And our esteemed producer, he was talking about, well, you know, Artie Moreno didn't want to be the guy that traded Shohei Ohtani. The only thing worse than being the guy that traded Shohei Ohtani is being the guy that didn't trade Shohei Ohtani. Because take a look at what the Nationals did. They traded Juan Soto. It was a tough thing a couple years ago. What happens? You turn it right around. You get James Wood. You get C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore. Dylan Cruz just got called up. In 2 years, they've remade this organization, and people are excited again. And they were bummed out when Juan Soto went away. They knew they could never pay him. And look, they made their choices. They chose Strasburg. It was a terrible decision. Sometimes you got to live with it, but it doesn't mean you have to live in it forever. There you go. There's the short version. For the long version, you can follow me on social media, and I can talk about it all day.
And as bad as they've been, I'll throw my two cents in. As awful as they've been, how they have the 27th ranked farm system in Major League Baseball, for as bad as they've been, is also an embarrassment to go along with it. When you talk about an organization in sports that needs to tear it down to the studs, from the owner all the way to the last guy at the bottom of the organization, it's that one. They need a complete teardown, up, down, everywhere, roster, everything. They should be the team moving to Vegas and starting over. Just start over. Everybody. Clean them all out, Joe. That's what you need. The Diamondbacks are in Boston tonight at Fenway against the Red Sox. Ryan Nelson is going tonight for them. Brian Ballow going for the Sox, minus 125. Plus 105 for the Diamondbacks, and a 9.5. I love big totals at Fenway Park, Joe. Let's go.
Yeah, look, Diamondbacks, again, continue to be another team that hangs around. This team that was in the World Series last year, they're showing they have a lot of respect for themselves. Marte going on the IL. That is the one caveat here in this one, too. So on the money line, that's why you're getting the plus money. I think not having Marte's bat in the lineup hurts the Diamondbacks enough there. So actually, the fact that, you know, it seems almost like a mirage, like it's a good deal, like you're getting the Diamondbacks and they got the better pitcher out there potentially. I think I go with Boston, as you said, you know, just kind of taking those bats at home and hope they can get that minus 125. Again, I think it's a bit of an illusion there that, oh, there's a lot of value on the Diamondbacks. I don't know. It's not necessarily the same lineup without Marte in it.
No, it is not. Colorado's in the Bronx against the Yankees tonight. A couple of notes here. Number one, Jazz Chisholm's back for the Yankees, so he only did the minimum IL stint with the elbow issue. He is in the lineup tonight. He's hitting fifth, playing third base, so that's some good news for them. I'm interested to see. It's Kyle Freeland and Carlos Rodon tonight, Joe. The approach that some of these teams have for Judge is so interesting because you saw Cleveland's approach. We're going to pitch to him the whole entire series, and he smashed them for four homers. We've seen teams like Toronto and Anaheim in the last few weeks not give him, just basically walk him every single time, and they don't let him hurt him. I'm interested to see now every series, especially a team like Colorado who only sees him once a year and absolutely sucks. Are they going to let Kyle Freeland, who's a gas can, give up another couple homers to Aaron Judge? Why not, I say. This is the heavy lumber game of the night. Minus 340 for the Bombers, plus 270 for the Rockies, and a 7.5. 7.5 seems light considering that Freeland stinks, and if he does pitch to them, guys like Judge and Soto can make his night very long.
There's no over big enough for me on this guy. I would take an alternative over wherever I can get it, because Rodon's no, you know, gem either. He's got an ERA over four over his last seven starts either. So although the Colorado Rockies strike out a ton, like you said, the lack of familiarity there sometimes can throw things off a little bit. So what I would say is this, wherever the Rockies are, especially in a spot where we're talking about Yankee Stadium and Freeland and a great opportunity for Aaron Judge to pad that home run total, I'd be crushing the over on the 7.5. I think that is an absolute banger. It's just easy. And the fact that it's only 7.5 is kind of absurd. It should be 8.5, if not 9.5, the way it's structured out there. We're somehow giving Carlos Rodon way too much credit in this one. Way too much.
Way, I agree with you. He's had a couple nice starts. But the Rockies, as bad as they are, do have a couple guys who can mash. especially lefties, whether it's Brenton Doyle and Toglia. They have a few guys who can actually hit the ball pretty well. Cubs are in Miami. Kyle Hendricks tonight, which always is a red flag for me. I love going after him. Max Meyer for the Fish. Cubs are favored, minus 125. The total's 8.5 here. I do my Tater Time segment, Joe, after we do the games, and you can believe me, I have a Marlin tonight against Kyle Hendricks. I always go against Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, and I like Max Meyer as a prospect, and I think Max Meyer eventually is going to figure things out and be a good pitcher. I think that, you know, they really did a strange job with him this year where, you know, somehow, you know, he comes up, he starts with the team, then they send him back down, right? And then he becomes a three-inning pitcher because they want to save his innings, to which I said, save his innings for what? You're the Marlins. I mean, I know you made the playoffs last year, but clearly your intentions were not to do that this year. His strikeout total is so low, too. It's only 4.5. I'd love to jump in. I can't do it, though. I just, there's not enough consistency yet for Max Meyer, but he's definitely one of these pitchers to watch here in August and September. He's had some moments here where he's looked better, but if anything, this is another one, too, where I think if you're chasing the over, you're probably going to be on the right side of this one between Hendricks, between the bullpens getting in there early, especially that Miami bullpen. This guy's only going to be, you know, if he gets through the fifth inning, it'll be, you know, a miracle at this point. But Max Meyer, again, talent. We have to be more patient with next year, and we'll see what happens. But next year, that rotation, if you think about it, Carver, they're going to have Sandy Alcantara back. They're going to have Yuri Perez back at some point. And then again, Max Meyer. Like, all of a sudden, that's a trio of young pitchers they can really get behind. The question is, do they keep Alcantara, or do they sell him off in the trade deadline next year? Because he would be a very coveted piece.
And Cabrera, you know, his last four or five starts has been good. I know when he came off the IL this year, it was shaky and he gave up a bunch of home runs. If you look at Edward Cabrera, he's actually been pretty good for the Marlins in his last few times out. So he's a guy that maybe will be part of that mix for them going forward as well as a pretty good young arm. Texas is in Cleveland tonight. Nasty day to Valdi against Tanner Beebe. 6.5. I'm seeing here with Nasty Nate and Tanner Beebe. This cannot be true. Minus 135 for the Guardians, plus 115 for the Rangers. I'll lay the run and a half tonight, Joe. -1.5, plus 160 with Cleveland tonight against Nasty Nate.
Yeah, I'm even seeing plus 170 over at Sugar House and a couple other spots there. So you've got some options here, that plus 170, even a bigger number there for the 1.5. This one's a tough one because you do have two very good pitchers out there. I know Bybee's had a little bit of a, you know, some injury stuff crop up here in the second half of the year. Maybe not quite himself. We'll see. But you got to hand it to the Cleveland Guardians, too, what they've done this year. You know, Stephen Kwan's been the engine that could, still at the top of that order, 310 batting average. That's a place to go in this game, too, just looking for total bases for him because he is a guy that continuously always makes good contact. The guys that make good contact, I mean, they're a dying breed in Major League Baseball. So for me, the best place to go if you want to stay away from the game itself is to go right to Kwan for the total bases over.
There you go. We got. I'm going to squeeze one more in, and then we're going to rapid fire the rest, Joe, because I'm dying to get you into football, and I have to get to that soon. Nationals and the Braves in Atlanta. Chris Sale going tonight, 14-3 with a 2-6. He's been excellent. Mackenzie Gore going for the Nats. This is also heavy lumber at minus 255. It's a 7.5. It's Braves or nothing but on the run line. Obviously, I'm not laying 255, Joe.
No, I don't think you want to do that. Plus, the juice is very heavy for the over on the 7.5 strikeouts, and I think that's a good number, minus 130. So not a lot of value on this game tonight.
All right, we'll come back, Joe. Rip through the rest of the games. I'll give you the taters, and then I got lots of NFL for Joe with the preseason. Coast to coast, we're back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Friday. Carver High and Joe Pisapia in for Scotty on SportsGrid at SportsGrid Radio. Or as our producer Luke Kane likes to say, Conspiracy Hour. Here on Coast to Coast as he gets himself ready for the baseballs. Why are they juiced? They're not juiced. Anything's possible. Joe, let's get through these because I'm dying to ask you about how Dotson's going to rip apart Washington while he's the third wide receiver on the Philadelphia Eagles. So I need to get to that at some point. So let's go. The Tigers are in Chicago against the White Sox. Montero and Flexen, both these guys stink, and it's an 8.5. That's good enough for me. I'm going with the over.
I will co-sign with you on that one too. Again, you know, anything when it comes to the White Sox, I think we pretty much know how that's been looking over this season. It's not been good for the Chicago White Sox, and I don't know if there's any hope in sight too. That's the problem.
No, there isn't. And same thing in this next one, because I told you there's a lot of gas cans on the mound tonight. Guys who love to give up runs, love to give up homers. Taiwan Walker's going for the Phillies in Kansas City against the Royals. Waka, of course, 10-6 with a 3-3 so far this year. He's been good, but he does give up some long balls. This is a 9.5 for the Phillies and the Royals, -145 for Kansas City. Interested to see Philly get out on the road here, Joe, against a team they don't normally play. They're away from the Atlantas and the Washingtons and the Miamis, all these teams they've been screwing around with for the last few weeks. Want to see if they step it up this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking at Bobby Witt here. You get the over on the RBI total, 0.5 at +145. That's the best number you can get it at right now. You can get it in a couple spots. So that's the way I'm approaching this. And I told you we were talking at the break, too, about, you know, looking for ways to make money in Major League Baseball. When you find those elite players and you're betting the RBI total over, especially on games where you think the total is going to be high, it's always in that plus money range, anywhere from +120 to even, you know, all the way up to 2 and change. And that is a great way to make money in Major League Baseball. Because if you think about it, the home runs are a little bit sparser to come by. But a good player drives in about 100 runs, and you only play 160 games a year, right? 162 guys don't usually play 162. So if you think about it, the elite players, more often than not, they're going to return that. That's a 2-to-1 kind of return. It's becoming my favorite way to bet on some of the better players in Major League Baseball, some of those real superstar players. We talked about Elly De La Cruz looking for the stolen base. There's motivation here. The RBI total, I think, is a great one for Bobby Witt, just like you should be playing that with all the Yankee guys tonight, too. The Sotos, the Judges, all those guys.
All right, I'm going to group a couple together here, Joe. Tell me if you like anything. Cardinals are in Minnesota against the Twins. Palante and Festa tonight, -155 for the Twins and an 8.5. We also have the Brewers and the A's at the dump in Oakland with Aaron Civale going. And Civale, by the way, he's allowed 23 homers in 124 innings. So the Oakland bats have been cold. We were very hot with the Butler and Rooker and a few of these other guys. Maybe they can actually start to get some things going tonight. J.P. Sears and Roebuck is going for the A's. And the Mets and the Padres again at Petco. Blackburn the Pirate against Joe Musgrove with a 7.5, which I got to tell you, Joe, looked a little light to me with Blackburn and Musgrove going.
Yeah, it does. I would also jump back to the A's for 1 second, too. Yeah, Butler was hot as anybody in the month of July, right? I mean, baseball's a game of streaks. We just talked about it, right? There's going to be highs and lows of these things. Brent Rooker, another guy, too. He's had, he's still at that home run total scratching 30 right now. That's another guy that I think is overdue a little bit. And you're looking at the home run number for him tonight is +425. That's a terrific return. And guess what? Just the RBI number on Civale tonight. A guy, by the way, that they faced more of because he's been in that American League for quite a while between his time with Cleveland and his time with Tampa. So the familiarities are a little bit more with some of these guys, a little bit bigger of a sample size. +190 on the over for the RBI total on Rooker tonight, too. So that's where my brain goes right away. Because a lot of people don't want to go and wager on bad teams like the A's, but just because a team is bad doesn't mean there's not ways to make money on it on the positive side.
No doubt. Will Seattle get a little bump after chopping the coach? I'm not so sure after firing service. They have Luis Castillo tonight. Birdsong goes for the Giants with San Francisco in town. Awful road trip Seattle's back from. And the Rays in L.A., against the Dodgers, Bobby Miller, who you talk about getting lit up, 9 homers in 33. He's got an 8 ERA going against Alexander and the Rays here. Of course, heavy lumber, -2 Bills for the Dodgers.
I think it's more of an NFL thing when you fire the coach and all of a sudden good things happen. You get that win bounce the next week, right? Everybody kind of rallies around. That's a very rah-rah NFL thing. I don't know what happens with Major League Baseball all as much. But what I do know is that momentum's as good as the next day starting pitcher. And Birdsong's no good, and Luis Castillo is a 3.5 ERA. So I think that's where you lean today. And it sucks. It sucks that he got fired because as much as we want to blame the manager, you have to blame the roster construction by the front office and the general manager first and foremost. Again, we touched on it earlier. When you remove a player who's line of protection, when it's already thin, you don't replace it immediately, you're going to struggle, and they did. And it was just too little too late adding a Rosarena. But tonight, in a situation against Birdsong, they are at home. I think you do get them to show up today. I like Seattle on the run line, -1.5. You get +155. That's a really good number considering Luis Castillo's on the mound tonight. Like, this is not some, you know, podunk pitcher. He's a good pitcher, a good major league pitcher in a time where you need him to kind of step up here and stop the bleeding. I think he shows up tonight. I think the offense shows up tonight against Birdsong, who's got a 5 ERA. So, yeah, I would go on the Castillo side of this one, and I like the -1.5.
All right, Joe. Every day I do the tater time here on Coast to Coast. A bunch of home run picks for tonight that I am involved with. It's a great night. I told you there's lots of guys who give up tons of homers. So let's go. We got some good history. We'll start with Ozuna. We went to the Big Bear the other night, and he did come through. He had that big homer. 5-for-12 with a homer off of Mackenzie Gore in his career. He's +350 tonight against him. We'll start there. Next, Spencer Steer for the Reds. How about this? 6-for-10 with a homer off of Bailey Falter in his career. Bunch of Reds have some pretty good numbers off of Falter, and a fat number for Spencer Steer tonight. +600 at PNC. Let's hope that he can hit the lefty, which he does a good job with. I told you I was going after Kyle Hendrickson. Well, guess what? Jesus Sanchez, 2-for-2 in his career with a homer off of Hendricks. Let's make it another one. Hendricks has allowed 19 bombs in 96 innings pitched this year, and we're getting +500. You mentioned Bobby Witt Jr. There he is. Big number tonight, +475. Walker's allowed 15 homers in 61 innings pitched. I went to Lindor last night. I'm going back to Lindor. 7-for-23 with 2 homers off of Musgrove. He's hitting the ball great at +5 Bills. And Ohtani didn't homer in the entire series against Seattle. He's 4-for-6 with a homer off Alexander. And I'm actually getting 310, which is for Ohtani a great number. So we'll put him on the pile tonight too, Joe. Tater time on Coast to Coast. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Friday. Carver High and Joe Pisapia in for Scotty on SportsGrid at SportsGrid Radio. Great to have you with us here today. All right, NFL time for us. Especially it's great having Joe because Joe is you talk about diving in on the NFL. That's all Joe's been doing lately, getting ready for this season. He just had his 950th fantasy draft this morning before the show. So he is about as close to being ready for them to kick off. Less than 2 weeks now, remember, 2 weeks from yesterday for the Chiefs and the Ravens, 2 weeks from tonight. Yeah, you had a Friday night game this year in Brazil with the Packers and the Eagles. So it is getting close. We got to get through these awful games this weekend, though, first. Last night, NFL preseason week 3 gets underway. Colts beat the Bengals 27-14. Obviously, the talking point here, Joe, is Anthony Richardson, because it's rare that your starter plays in that last preseason game. It's not something that happens very often. And really, Steichen last night really had everybody out there. He had his entire A offense, it seemed like. I saw Taylor out there. There was a few guys that got snaps. But you saw the best and the worst of them, right? Great touchdown pass to A.D. Mitchell. But that pick six, Joe, that was a tough scene that he threw to the Bengals, too. That was tough.
It is, but I think this is why he's out there. You know, this is a guy that did not get the reps on the field last year because of the injury, right? He only played in the 4 games. 2 of those 4 games, by the way, were over 24 fantasy points. So it's not like this guy can win you a week on his own. He is that kind of player. So this is a very special thing. But the rust factor, the development factor, all those things matter. And I think Shane Steichen is actually smart for letting him continue to go out there, get the reps, get the kinks out, and gain some confidence too. Because I think for Richardson, a lot of this is still raw ability. Last year on my board, C.J. Stroud was by far the number one quarterback in terms of NFL ready. I know a lot of people thought it was Bryce Young. A lot of people thought it was Richardson. But to me, it was always C.J. Stroud, and it wasn't even close. That turned out to be right. But even Stroud really outperformed my expectations. With Richardson, my expectations are very high this year. But it's not always going to look pretty. It's going to be good for fantasy, but you have to understand there's a difference between those two things. You know, a couple years ago, Justin Fields was QB7 in fantasy without playing a complete season. Why? Because of the rushing equity and the touchdown equity. So you'll take some of those lumps. You'll take some of those picks with Anthony Richardson and some of those learning curve moments and peaks and valleys you're going to have, because as long as he is rushing for 800 yards, 900 yards, and scoring, I don't know, 10 touchdowns on the ground, the mistakes don't matter as much. Now, it might hurt the Colts a little bit at times, But in terms of your fantasy equity, Richardson is a really dynamic, exciting player. And you just have to understand there's going to be some moments where it's maybe less thrilling than others. But I like that Steichen's letting him work through things. I think it's a smart thing to do. Let him get the reps in as much as he possibly can. Because last year he missed crucial development time on the field.
Now, you would know this better than me, because like I said, I was telling you yesterday, I haven't dove in yet. I don't know where Richardson's going in terms of the quarterback hierarchy. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming he's in the top 10. Would he, because yes. of that, is he going in that area? But I would have to think, Joe, if you are taking him in that area, you're not waiting till the end to get your backup. You want to make sure that you have somebody that's there, because injury seems to be something that's possible, especially like last year with how much he runs around and does get hit.
Yeah, right now he's currently the consensus fifth quarterback in ADP going off the board. So what's good about that is you have some of that fun where you get, you know, Allen, Hurts, Mahomes, some combination of those three off the board, Lamar goes. So you get like a little flair that goes up in every draft where the quarterbacks start going, so you know if you want to get on the run. Where I struggle a little bit with Richardson, if it's too early when that run starts, is, well, I can pivot and wait and Joe Burrow will fall to me, or even Kyler Murray, who also is not without rushing equity, or even Jaden Daniels, who will go even later. And then that's really easy to back up, because what I've done is I've used a lot of that draft capital on running backs, on wide receivers, or maybe a good tight end. And I've waited on quarterback, taking a guy like Daniels, who frankly has as much upside from a rushing standpoint as Anthony Richardson does. And it's going to cause me a lot less draft capital, because he's like the 13th quarterback, 12th quarterback going off the board. I could always take a Goff, a Kirk Cousins, a Matthew Stafford to back that up. If I take Richardson that early, it's tough to then roster a second quarterback, because you're kind of playing from behind a little bit in ADP with the wide receiver. So it really is a choose your own adventure. It's something in a 10-team league I'm more apt to do than a 12-team league, because it's fun and it's easier to back up. But in a 12-team league, I think you really got to look at it. If you're not going to go elite quarterback, as tempting as, you know, Richardson is, if him and Lamar are there, I'm taking Lamar every single time. It's not close.
Yeah, look, he's done it consistently for you. Unlike, you got to see Richardson actually get through the entire year. And if he does this year, Joe, I'd bet next year he is going to be in that top three, top four conversation, especially if he's putting up those numbers. All right, we got another hour to go. Coast to Coast, we're back right after this.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.